Were you planning on taking my place?
Oh, just dressed in theme to support.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where we watch every single episode of the series and then we talk about it, and we're doing everything in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good.
Great.
I'm ready to talk cabaret.
Okay, so it opens with Liza Minnelli because we finally watched it.
I know. We'll hold for everybody's applause.
Uh-huh. 3, 2, 1. As if we're on stage performing
right.
Cabaret.
Yeah.
And we just did some sort of crazy number where we danced with a person in a gorilla suit.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to say.
That was something.
That really was.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, and this is not a
it's not a
cabaret
podcast.
Review podcast.
No.
But I think it's important because I'm not lumping you in on this.
You said we.
I thought watching cabaret,
yeah,
either the movie or the stage show, but the movie's easier to find,
yeah,
would inform some of my viewing of Schitt's Creek. And that was not the case. It really didn't help me. Like, I didn't need to watch it.
No, it was nice to have just a little bit more background.
Sure.
But we realized that there are some differences between the movie, and as in most
right.
situations, when they take anything and make it into a movie.
There are definitely significant differences between the play and the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing
the
play.
Musical. It's not a play.
Sorry, the musical. I also had a problem with this being a musical. Because, first of all, I'm not a huge fan of musicals to begin with.
Okay.
I can like a musical just fine. The thing I found interesting about this is none of the music, and people that are fans of cabaret and understand cabaret are going to disagree with me because I'm sure that I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
None of the music had anything to do with the story. Like, it's not like other musicals where a character will walk into a room and a situation will happen and then they will sing about it. All the singing was done at
yeah,
the cabaret.
I guess so.
Like,
yeah.
It was a movie
mm-hmm.
with musical interludes that didn't have much, if anything, to do with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty harsh take on the movie, I think, because I'm
yeah.
sure the songs did. I'm sure if I had all the lyrics and I dissected every song, I'd be like, oh, well, this clearly has to do with, I don't know, their rich man threesome or something. I don't know.
Oh, man.
It was very weird to have a separate storyline
mm-hmm.
than all of the musical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you felt that way or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the song, like maybe this time that they used in Schitt's Creek,
mm-hmm.
I feel like she sang that after she was kind of talking about like all of her strikeouts with relationships.
Yes.
So I felt like that was a connection, I thought, like
yeah, but we
in
didn't
the movie.
Need,
right?
We didn't need to have watched Cabaret
no,
to
no,
get
no,
that
but
connection.
I understand that.
Right.
But I'm saying in the movie, I feel like you're saying there wasn't any connection between what was happening in the movie and the songs. But in that
okay.
circumstance, I think that there was.
No, I gotcha. I get
for
it.
That particular
yeah.
song. So I have a feeling they maybe connected a
yeah.
little bit more than we thought.
But I really like, and I know we can't sit there and watch an entire performance of Cabaret during a Schitt's Creek episode,
mm-hmm.
but I like how Stevie's number, what's that song?
Maybe this time.
I like how that in the performance in Schitt's Creek seemed like the big finishing number.
Yeah.
Where in the movie,
and it was really cut very short compared to, you know, the actual number has several verses.
Oh, sure.
We didn't get to
yes.
really see.
But in the movie, it was kind of in the middle.
In the middle, yeah.
Maybe closer to the end, but it certainly wasn't the last performance
no.
we see.
No, there was gorilla dancing after that happened.
Was that that couldn't have been the last performance?
I don't know. I think we also need to point out that when we started watching Cabaret,
yeah,
one of us, we'll let the audience figure out which one, fell asleep in the beginning.
Right.
And kind of missed some of it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. One of us had to be told what happened for the first half hour because one of us was
could
asleep.
Could not keep their eyes
but
open.
Refused to say that they were asleep until another one of us started to talk about Nazis and stuff. And the other one was like, what happened? What?
Yeah. So, yeah. So
I think one of us referred to Michael York as a super hot dude, which I've never heard anyone refer to Michael York
I think
as
I said
before.
The hunky guy. I referred to him as the hunky guy just because, I don't know, I feel like he was supposed to be, you know, like...
Yeah.
There
was a lot. And yeah. I think you and I had problems that we had with Downton Abbey where all the men looked the same in it.
Yeah, every once in a while we couldn't quite tell. Wait, which guy
I
is
know
that?
We were in Germany, but they all had blonde hair. It was really something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean,
well, we didn't really talk about the differences at all.
Oh,
we
yeah,
haven't even gotten to that yet.
Yeah, everybody can research the differences. It's just it's padding they sometimes do in.
Well, they had a whole additional major character in the movie that was not in the stage production.
So they had multiple characters.
Right, multiple. But I mean, yeah, I feel like that one, the one guy, the wealthy...
Yeah, it was...
Guy, the wealthy love interest.
There was a lot happening.
Was not even in it.
Yes.
And...
I will say, while I may not have really enjoyed Cabaret, I saw it and I'm glad I saw it because it's like one of those cultural things mm-hmm. where it's like, you need to have... Watched.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I saw it for that purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. And Liza Minnelli I just kept commenting on the parallels and the similarities between she and Judy Garland and mm-hmm. how much her voice sounded like, you know.
Yeah.
But we were not into necessarily her as a I don't want to say as a performer because she is an amazing performer, but just her overall look. Like the whole, you know, Munster's hairdo and everything. At some points we were kind of like, I'm not sure.
When you said she looks like Eddie Munster, that was fantastic. And in this episode, we see Moira dressed the same.
And Moira
she doesn't look like Eddie
amazing.
Munster.
Amazing. Right. She did not have the Eddie Munster. What's that called?
Widow's Peak?
Yeah. She did not have that. She had the stylish hat on. She looked totally put together.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we liked Moira's portrayal of Sally more than Liza
and that
Minnelli's.
Was just backstage.
And that was
right.
just in a moment. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, enough of our Cabaret discussion.
Yeah.
Because we are here to talk about the last episode of season 5, Life is a Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
The original air date was April 9th of 2019. This episode was co-directed by Andrew Civitino and Dan Levy.
Mm.
Now, they previously co-directed Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose last season.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew will go on to direct half of the episodes in season 6.
Okay.
This is written by Dan Levy. And the last thing I will say is we've talked about some people that were in Cabaret or in this production because there are a lot of jazzy gals in there.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Gwen is in there. Mm-hmm. But there are three other people I did just want to mention. Jade Whitney, Natalie Sebastian, and Annie Chen
mm-hmm.
are dancers and performers in
the
show.
Kit Kat Club.
Yes,
girls.
And they are credited, even though they don't have lines, I'm sure they're singing. And we did go through all the Jazzy Gals way back, so I think it's worth mentioning them.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, the first two were in MVP, so I guess they were practicing.
Okay.
During that episode as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's get into this and close out season 5.
Yeah.
And we open at Patrick's apartment.
Yes.
So they do this sometimes. I feel like they do this a lot with the David and Patrick storyline where it's like, this is the next day because no time has passed. It's the very next day. From the way last episode ended with the proposal.
Yes.
And David's in bed. And Patrick, we know it's the next day because he brings him leftover champagne
right,
from their picnic.
Yeah. Yes.
David's busy editing engagement photos?
That's what he said,
I'm confused.
So I guess pictures, I don't know who was taking these pictures. Somebody came along on a hike as well and took pictures of them, I guess, at the top of the mountain.
I'd like to think that Patrick said, and also, and then somebody stepped out from behind a tree
maybe.
To take pictures.
Or maybe they just did a lot of engagement selfies.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, but it could have just been somebody that happened to be there hiking as well that we didn't see that maybe took some photos of that.
Yeah, okay.
Took some photos of them together.
Because when you said engagement photos, like, people get engagement photos, right?
Oh, totally.
Did we do that?
I don't want to do any spoilers, but they get engagement photos later on.
Right, and I think that's
in
what... and I think that's what confused me.
So I feel like this... Sometimes people do a lot... They will have people... on standby to take photos as they are proposing to their significant other.
Yeah, but that's not... Okay, no. You know. That's the thing that confused me, because engagement photos, the things
you're thinking
think
something
of,
more formal.
Yeah, like, oh, this showed up in the newspaper to announce the engagement of blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Which, I was like, what photos are we editing? These were just casual pictures.
Celebrating
on
their
on the fly selfies they're taking on that mountain.
Yeah, because he said Patrick looked fine, but he looked like he crawled out from under a bridge.
Right. Yes.
Which I find that very hard to believe, but yeah.
And... we also know that no one has been told yet.
No, it's a big secret.
And I guess that's sort of the B plot of this particular episode David has grand ideas.
Oh, of how this announcement's going to be shared. He's played it out in his head and has a whole plan about, you know, and then he's like, well, maybe we shouldn't announce it today with the show. And then they discussed, well, let's announce it after the show. We can have everybody back to the motel to celebrate and everything. And, you know, we can do a big announcement and he's going to stand up and Patrick will just stand there basically. And David will bring tears to everyone's eyes.
Do you think that
he'll
just...
hold back his tears, which will make it even more emotional?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think they're just tired of using the cafe as the event space,
I guess,
for this show?
Because
I am surprised they don't go back there afterwards.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Yep. No,
Twyla's there,
point.
But, you know, maybe she's like,
guys,
enough of
this already.
Maybe
it was closed by the time the show's
right,
over.
Right, exactly. They're already closing the place and telling people there's roaches. What did they say?
There was...
bad cheese or something?
No, like a listeria outbreak or some kind of...
Salmonella.
Yeah, salmonella. I was like, listeria is not right. I forget what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, but all of this, great, fine, David, you can do what you want with all of these photos and planning this announcement in your head because it is the showtime.
Yeah.
Big show tonight.
Not quite showtime yet, but pretty close, I would say.
Right. Patrick has to get himself ready for the show.
Yeah, and David says, good luck, honey, and then he corrects him and says, it's break a leg.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, after our title card, we go back to the motel where, well, the show's on everybody's mind because Alexis is practicing.
She's rehearsing her dance.
Her dance moves.
Yes.
And Johnny has... been annoying her for quite some time. Now, we haven't seen this, but because she's leaving to go to the Galapagos with Ted and has told everybody, Johnny's really having a hard time with this.
Yeah, he's been giving her gifts and mementos and things that she needs to take with her. And,
I don't know. And the fact that he delivers, the fact that he wrapped, it looks like it was delivered by Amazon or something.
Oh, I think it was just like wrapped in like brown
paper bag.
Paper. Yeah, but sometimes.
Like he's covering a high school textbook.
Yeah, sometimes people wrap gifts that way.
No, I know.
You know.
I always liked it when I would get gifts wrapped up in like comics.
Oh.
You know.
I'll start doing that for you.
You should.
Okay. Or, except we don't get a newspaper or comics.
Our anniversary's coming up.
That's true. Yeah.
So he's delivering her a gift.
Yes.
And we've said he feels really bad about her leaving. He gives her a giant family photo, like an 8x10.
It's like an 8x10, maybe.
In a really heavy frame.
Yeah, because she complains, I can't even take this along with me.
Exactly.
This is way too heavy and everything. But yeah, he's having a little bit of a hard time with her leaving.
Yeah. I mean, they have spent years now. Again, not sure about the timeline, but together. Mm-hmm. In this place, you know, two rooms with a door that sometimes locks, normally doesn't, between them. Mm-hmm. And now one of them is on her way.
Right.
You know, finally leaving.
Yes.
And he's having way more of a problem than Moira.
Oh, totally. Moira doesn't even know when she's leaving.
She doesn't know when she's leaving.
Right.
She doesn't know why she isn't leaving when Ted leaves.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because Moira kind of breezes in. She has flowers.
Yeah.
From the Elmdale Arts Council. And the note says, break all your legs, which I loved.
Very nice.
But yeah, she's asking about, like, when is everyone leaving? And Alexis is like, well, Ted's leaving tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving next week. And then Moira's asking her, literally, well, why aren't you leaving tonight? And she's like, because I'm in the show. So, yeah, they have a kind of a funny little exchange, of course, as always. Moira has no pulse on what Alexis is doing. But then she
to the point
compliments
where,
her.
Yeah. Right, but again, she just told her when she's leaving to go on this lengthy trip. And Moira's like, congratulations.
Yeah.
You're my publicist now.
Right, for everything for the crows.
Yes, and that's coming out in the fall.
Yeah.
To which Alexis is like, what are you talking about? I'm gone. I am leaving.
Right.
And yeah, she's kind of upset by this, but there's too much happening. Like,
this
show is really...
She does this whole speech about let's join hands and cherish all these special moments that we have and everything.
We're all on the precipice of greatness,
she says. And then, of course, her phone rings and she stops this whole conversation to take a phone call.
Yes. Yeah. So now let's stay in the motel, but let's just travel right down
to
the
lobby.
Office.
Office, not a lobby. I guess it's a lobby.
It's kind of a lobby.
It's an office
you check
in a motel.
There. All right.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's a lobby. Once they're giving you cinnamon buns, it's a lobby. Then.
And vodka, then it becomes
vodka,
a lobby.
Right, yes.
Okay. All right.
It's been a lobby for a while.
Yep. But Stevie's behind the desk.
Uh-huh.
She's going over last-minute things for the performance and everything. And David comes and drops off flowers to her.
Yeah, she does say later that she is nervous. She's having trouble with a certain scene.
Yes.
But he's there to congratulate her.
Mm-hmm. Wish her luck.
Right.
She's going outside of her comfort zone, and he's really proud of her for that. And
yes.
She says to him, I've never really seen you this happy unless you have gossip or news about Oprah.
Right. And he is doing a really bad job of pretending that he doesn't have news that is going to overshadow what she is doing
day. He's like, I just want to celebrate you tonight, like you and the show. And, and he's trying to figure out a way to casually invite her to come for his big announcement, but not reveal his big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work out because he just kind of can't contain it. And she's suspicious. So he shares his engagement news.
And she's so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so happy.
Like teary and...
Come from behind the desk happy. Which
to hug
you
him
don't
and
see
everything.
A whole lot.
And totally, she's like, you totally caught me off guard. Yeah. I wasn't expecting this and everything.
Yeah, she's crying, but she's also got a lot going on.
Right.
So she's already emotional.
Yes.
As we said, she's having trouble with the scene. We watched Cabaret. Do you have any idea what scene she might be having trouble with? Like, which is the most difficult scene of Cabaret? Since she's not dancing with a gorilla, I don't know what scene it could possibly be that she would be having any
Unless
sort of problem
Unless she is the
with.
Gorilla, as we talked about. And
oh, the cast
difficult.
Is so... Well, we had talked about maybe Bob's the gorilla. We were trying to figure out...
Yeah,
I
we were like,
that's
who
we
would
were
Bob
mostly,
have been?
That's
who
what we
were
mostly distracted with while we watched.
Who would other people have been?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Who would Gwen have been?
Right.
Perhaps that Jewish woman? Maybe.
I don't know. I thought the Jewish woman wasn't in...
Well, she wasn't in
the stage production.
This is why it's so confusing.
Yeah.
And also why they could probably do this with about five characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. Yeah.
Yep.
So now, let's go... Okay, so here's the thing. Time has passed now. Like, we've been one thing to another to another, and not much time has passed, but there's enough time.
Well, kind of, the last scene that we see is she is nervous about this scene. They decide they're going to keep the engagement news to themselves, keep it quiet until after the show.
Yes.
And that's kind of how, and he leaves. We kind of see her get a little sobby and a little choked up and everything, which part of me is still... Yes, she's very happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's still a small part of her that is sad to be losing him to Patrick?
Oh, definitely.
Right? Like, I didn't...
No, and I thought...
It's a happy, but like a... And is there like a little bit of a loss of like, you know, like there was some love interest there, yeah, kind of, which obviously we talked at length about.
No, we have.
You know,
I think that's
not as much of a factor
right
now.
Yes.
I think it's just the idea of, yeah, I'm nervous because there's a show. I'm happy and excited that things have worked out so
right
well for him. But I'm also feeling kind of like, is this going to take him?
Oh, yeah.
From
no,
me.
I think there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I think
it's a lot of mixed emotions.
And if I didn't say it many, many episodes ago when we talked about it, I think this show does a really good job of putting those romantic interests to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Where other shows would have been like, let's just keep this going for mm-hmm a while. And then as he and Patrick leave, we'll show Stevie's face or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think this show, with their conversation after mm-hmm they were weird about it.
Yeah.
Like, this show did a really good job of saying, this is not a thing.
Right.
But,
yeah,
and I think it comes up later when she's talking with Moira.
Uh-huh.
I really think it is about, because she basically
yep
says, like, everyone is moving on with their lives. So I think it's
right
more of that.
Yes.
Then honestly anything else.
Yeah.
Like you said, I think she's definitely happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But also it's just another thing that she had gotten used to.
Yeah.
And it's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that it's going to change. He
yes
won't be around as much as
right
he is now, which isn't as much as he was before. So it's already
yeah
started to change.
Yeah.
But anyway,
but
the
yeah
whole,
sorry,
the
you were
whole
talking about the
is,
time.
Yeah, no, the whole thing is enough time has passed where she is being reported missing.
Right.
To
we
the
come
police
into the motel room. Roland is there on the phone making phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hear him describing, and Moira's there as well, describing
it's
someone. She
great
has dark hair. She looks kind of like a vampire. She'll be skittish if you approach her.
She responds to Stevie.
Yeah.
But yeah, looks like a vampire is amazing. And when he suggests that if they have tasers, they may need to use them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's really great. And
Moira makes mention, too, about Gwen being the other understudy. Like, I shouldn't have made Gwen the understudy. Is that what she said?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Which is the best.
That really is the best. Like, you have, well, never mind. I was going to say, you have Alexis there. We heard her sing.
Yeah.
I mean, Gwen's one of the jazzy gals.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been interesting casting.
Oh, 100%.
A very unique performance.
Yes.
But you have I can't think of her name.
Right.
She runs the cafe.
Twyla.
Remember
her?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have Twyla. What are you doing?
Right.
But I assume
there are tons
yeah
of other people.
Right. I assume it was very much Gwen demanded
maybe
to be the understudy.
Yeah.
And Moira, you know, bent
yeah
to the will of Gwen.
And she did say she was the under... Did she say she was or she should have made her? Or
I thought she said...
I didn't quite catch the... I just heard Gwen and understudy, I'll
yeah
admit.
I
didn't quite catch
I was
catch
a little bit
the
confused, too, because then
words
you said something and I confused what you said with what was actually said. I don't remember what was actually
oh
said.
Okay.
So either she's the understudy or not.
Right.
Either way,
it would be
either
interesting.
Way, it's a mess. And also, I don't know if it's before she talks about Gwen, but David's come in
yes
to the room.
And he's overhearing everything
right
and kind of starting to piece things together.
Yes.
But then they share with him that Stevie has gone missing.
Yes.
And they're concerned that maybe, did you say anything, you know, to David? They're like, did you say anything that might have
right
triggered her? You have that effect on people, Moira told him.
How about, and it's a very quick line, when she says that Bob cried at the garage. He's
yeah
devastated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he'd still have Patrick to dance with in his gorilla suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So David sort of lets it slip that he may have said something to Stevie.
Right.
That put undue pressure on her or
mm-hmm
added pressure and maybe just basically caused her to snap, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he just starts to yell about how he's being engaged or getting
mm-hmm
engaged or is
right
engaged.
Right.
And spoils that now
mm-hmm
for Moira and Roland.
Right. Yeah. And Moira is instantly upset.
Right.
why couldn't you have waited until after the show to do this? And she is not real happy about it. Alexis comes in.
Right.
And then overhears everything. And, of course, she, like, slaps him in the arm. Yeah. Like, you're engaged. You didn't tell me. I'm going to be away. Who's going to plan this wedding?
She's
what's going to happen?
Now. Yeah.
Right.
Everybody's upset. Nobody, I don't think anyone of this trio says congratulations. Maybe Roland does.
Well, Roland said Jocelyn can plan everything because she planned, what, the brother-in-law's funeral in a day or whatever. Yeah, for $100.
$100.
Yeah. So they all, his news that he wants to keep quiet and have this grand announcement is slowly, that whole plan is just unraveling.
Moira yells, what a unanimously disastrous day.
Yeah, and she kind of walks away like whimpering and
crying.
Sobbing.
Yeah, it's fun, goofy Moira crying at the end of this scene.
Yes.
So,
fast forward.
So yeah, so now it is showtime.
Yeah, we're already backstage.
Right.
More time has passed. And Stevie is still nowhere to be found.
And in case we've forgotten, Jocelyn is assistant director.
Right,
I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's been so long since she's been involved in this.
Yeah, but David is backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Why, I don't know, because he doesn't have any reason to be back there.
He's just back there because I think he feels responsible for
maybe
Stevie disappearing.
So he's hoping to catch her, I guess, backstage,
exactly,
hoping she's going to show up.
Yes.
Jocelyn congratulates him right away. So, of course, he's like, how do you know?
Oh, no, he's back there for, so David's, is he backstage for Patrick?
Oh, yeah.
Because Patrick's in his whole getup, right?
True, yes.
Yes, that's
that, probably for both, you know.
Yeah.
And I think they even kind of say, like, no, it's performers only back here. At
right.
one point, they kind of tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, he's back there for Patrick, of course. Yeah, why? I don't know why we were just thinking.
I know.
But I think it's probably a combination
out,
that, you know, he's looking for Stevie as well.
Well, you,
you
can't
know,
imagine how Patrick's feeling.
Yeah,
like,
well, yeah.
This whole show isn't going to happen. Or he's going to have to dance around with Gwen. We're not even sure what's about to happen. But we do know what's going to happen because Moira comes out.
Moira shows up in her costume, not Eddie Munster-ish.
No.
Looking
she's
lovely.
She's doing her best to look like Eddie
her
Munster.
Her best Sally.
But she doesn't.
Yeah.
She looks like Sally.
Yeah, so she shows up. She is ready to step in. She is pretty much assured that she's stepping in.
Oh, yeah,
when
no question.
When lo and behold, Stevie shows up.
Here comes Stevie.
Looking at Moira and kind of like, were you going to step in? Like,
right.
Yeah.
To which Moira says that she's just dressed in theme to support.
Right.
Which I think is really great. It's very sweet because then everybody just leaves Stevie and David alone.
Well, before that, Stevie kind of explained. She's like, I had an errand to run.
Yes.
And then Moira's like, I called you.
Traffic.
Like, why didn't you pick up? And then she said, you told me today to just block everyone out, just focus on, like, preparing myself and getting in, you know, into the right mindset and everything. So kind of Moira gave that advice, which then backfired, and that's why she couldn't reach Stevie. And yeah, you did mention, like, she ran into traffic and everything.
Just like
as
Roland
well.
When he was having a baby.
Right.
These people need to take their phones with them.
Yeah.
I understand distractions can be bad.
Right.
But if you're expecting a baby or you have to perform in a giant show that night, maybe just keep your phone on you.
Yeah.
Put it on silent or something.
Yes.
Every now and then, maybe just look at it.
Mm-hmm.
See if Moira's called you 35 times.
Right, yeah.
But she
But they
left
do have
to,
this, yes,
yeah,
this
she
lovely
left
moment.
To get a gift for David, and it is a towel.
Well, because, and she said she already knew everything was going to happen.
Right.
Patrick had asked her for her blessing, which is so super
it's
cute and sweet.
Yes.
And everything, but she didn't know that he was, when he was planning to
well,
do everything.
Well, she says weeks ago he asked her, so it's been quite a while.
So she was kind of like, of all days for him to decide to do this, because then she needed to run to get the, to pick up the gift the day of the show, and it just like added a whole layer of stress kind of to her day.
Yeah,
but
boy,
yes.
What a day to ask, huh? Patrick must have been very sure of David's response. Could you imagine if David was like, I don't think we should get married yet. And he has to perform in this show the next day.
I guess so.
Yeah. But boy, Patrick's really putting it all out there.
Yeah, but it was so sweet. She gave him a little, like, set of monogrammed towels.
Yes.
and everything.
With the high thread
and
count.
Yes, high thread count. They talked all about like the color, I think, and everything he commented on. And it was so cute because she said, I won't be there to give you towels.
Yes.
So she got him his own little set.
It is extremely sweet. It's a really nice moment between these two.
Yes.
And, you know, I think I talked, we were probably in late season three, certainly through season four, how I said that I miss that they don't get as much time together anymore. And, you know, Amir got in the way.
Right.
And Patrick's getting in the way.
And they kind of got into, like, the motel with Johnny and everything else. So, like, most of her time now was with Amir for a little while. And then, of course, with Roland. And then a lot with Johnny. And, you know, we don't see her maybe with David quite as... And then she's obviously doing these rehearsals. So that's not time that, you know, she and David have been together. Yeah.
And I know you can't keep doing the same thing over and over in this show. And I wouldn't have wanted that. But it is nice that they still do put moments like this between these two characters in this series.
Yep.
But then she's like, I gotta go.
I gotta get ready. Yeah, Moira's like, come on, like, let's get moving.
Pre-show circle. Oh, yeah. That they have
did that in one of the rehearsals. Yes. Remember when they sounded like Dory? I said.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
Yep.
And now
we jump to the audience.
To the audience.
As so David's getting settled and
with
situated.
With the show, and I'm not trying to gloss over this, because we could certainly talk about the show, but during the show, there's a lot of times where we do just go back and forth between audience reactions, and I think there's only about four of them that have reactions, and then to the actual show.
Yeah. And also remember, I think in the last episode or one of the episodes, you said that their show performance was at the town hall, which it wasn't.
No.
Yeah. I didn't think it was, but I was like, I don't remember. It was like a little theater.
Space than town hall.
It was like a legit theater.
It's probably at the high school.
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
All right. So, but it is funny because David goes into the audience and he's sitting next to Ted. And, of course, Ted knows about the engagement.
And congratulates him and everything.
Yes.
And he's like, how did you find out?
Yeah.
And he said
Roland
Alexis shared.
I think Roland's sitting there and you find out that Johnny's the last one to find
out about Johnny had no idea, but Johnny's reaction was really nice. You know, of course he's like, congratulations, that's
but
so great.
But he gets cut short because the lights go down and the show starts.
Yeah, and also I like that you see Ted is holding
the program.
And of course Moira's young picture is on the back.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's her. It's the picture, the black and white picture of her that we've seen in the past at other events is on the back cover of the program. It's
like the full
picture of her on
the
back.
That's really nice. Yes.
Yeah.
And we see
the opening
the
number
opening
with
number.
The master of ceremonies, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we see them do that number. I don't know how much detail you want to go into.
It's a really fun number.
Yeah.
Alexis is a little bit of a mess. At one point, she does like a kick, and she sort of seems embarrassed by it.
Because you said she's a hot mess, and I guess I wasn't
a little
paying
bit.
Attention
just
to
a little bit. Yeah.
It's tough not to watch Patrick.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really plus. The makeup and the
get-up
and everything.
And the German and everything.
And all the girls are kind of dressed the same.
Yeah.
So I guess it was tough for me to differentiate who's who.
Well, we also had a discussion
about...
Because
at one point you were like, is that Twyla? Isn't Twyla there?
Right.
Who is that?
We had a whole discussion and I was like, okay, clearly Alexis able to pick her out immediately. And I said, that's Twyla, right? Because we had talked about how we don't remember seeing Twyla at any of the rehearsals. When they were having rehearsals, she wasn't, was she there? You know what? She was there because when Bob was knocking.
Oh yeah, she was
guessing. She was guessing.
Yes.
So she was there. I was trying to come back and I'm like, I don't remember her being at rehearsals.
Okay.
And I felt like there was something else going on that she was elsewhere.
And I have to tell you, I don't remember.
I'm just not remembering accurately.
And I know that those would be considered rehearsals, but the only thing that I think of as a rehearsal is when Stevie and Patrick were doing
that Money Makes the World Go Round. Yeah.
The other stuff is just Bob doing silly things.
Oh, yeah. So. It was like the prep work, like all of the acting prep work and stuff.
But no, definitely.
But yeah,
there.
No, I have to say, I kind of enjoyed their opening number more than... the one in the movie. I enjoyed Patrick a lot.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, he was great. I mean, the guy in the movie was great. But yeah. I really, you know, just, and probably because there's a stronger connection with these characters, obviously.
That's exactly,
but,
yeah, that's right. Exactly why.
But,
right.
But I really enjoyed. I thought he did great.
Yeah. No, if there was an entire series where we knew all of the characters,
right,
like those two women in Cabaret that were under the blankets with that guy, uh-huh, I'd be like, oh, they're my favorite characters.
Right.
No,
yeah.
I didn't know any of them.
Yeah.
And also in that, and I feel like this kind of happened in here, especially this number two. Like, I remember early on in Cabaret, like, Liza Minnelli was just in the background. She was just, mm-hmm, like a background dancer. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Stevie is, at least in this opening number here.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, I don't know where I was going with that, but I feel like,
yeah,
that's another reason why you're always looking at Patrick.
Yeah. Yep.
So that happens, and then we go to commercial, mm-hmm, and now it's time for intermission.
Well,
I assume that's what this is.
We have, yeah, I guess so. I mean, we have another backstage moment. Yeah,
right.
I mean, the show might be continuing as they're talking, but, mm-hmm, we have a really lovely Moira and Stevie moment.
Yes.
Probably, you know, I would say this moment, I think, is even more important than their moment in her apartment when she first brings her the script and basically is like, here, like, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah, I
you
don't
know. Because that was,
yeah,
a big moment
it's
as
probably,
well.
It's probably more important, but I like how it's entirely full circle. I mean,
mm-hmm,
it's important for this to happen with these two characters. It's,
yeah,
important for them to have one more of these moments.
Yeah.
Because this is the one thing that's tying these two characters,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah.
They're two people. It's not like she and Johnny who will go on to have this motel and,
right,
go on to,
right,
you know, further business ventures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying this is it for she and Moira interacting, mm-hmm, but this is kind of the end of their time together,
yeah,
as close as they've been.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important. I do like how you do find out that that's Moira's wig. That,
yeah,
Stevie's
Magdalena. Yes, and she's wearing her wig, and she wears it well, she,
uh-huh,
said. And then she mentioned that David had worn it when he was dressing up as Alanis Morissette.
I don't think it was the same wig,
oh,
but I think she said, you're the only person who I've let wear one of my wigs,
oh,
except one Halloween when David went to be Alanis Morissette.
Okay, okay.
Which, she doesn't know how many people have been wearing those wigs
when,
oh, she was out of,
yeah,
town,
right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I wanted Stevie to be like, well, I've also worn five others.
Right,
but,
yeah.
So Stevie kind of confides in Moira about, mm-hmm, everyone growing up around her and how she,
yeah,
feels.
Yeah, she said,
stuck.
I'm just watching everything from behind a desk, and,
yes,
everyone's kind of growing up around me. Like,
right,
Alexis is heading off to the Galapagos,
mm-hmm,
and obviously David and Patrick are going to get married, and,
yeah,
she's just kind of feeling stuck.
Yeah.
And I think that's always been her feeling. She's always been stuck at that motel and that, behind that desk.
Yes.
And, yeah, so, you know, so Moira's is kind of just encouraging her, like, use this, you know, be where,
yeah,
you are. And,
mm-hmm,
she really, Moira really gives her, you know, big props,
oh,
for as much as she, you know, we always say we like to see this moment between them because she was, you know, accusing her of stealing her earrings at the beginning in the first episode,
right,
and, you know, talking about that, you know, the girl at the desk,
yeah,
and everything, you know, but she has a really, she kind of says to her, like, you know, what the hell's your secret?
Right.
And even just the,
mm-hmm,
way she said that, it didn't sound Moira-y.
No.
The fact that she, I don't know, she,
no,
threw the word hell in, it just, like,
she talks,
like, wow,
very matter-of-factly,
mm-hmm,
to Stevie at this moment.
Yes.
And she's not throwing in weird flourishes of,
nope,
diet words that we've never,
right,
heard before.
Right. Yep.
I mean, she, because she starts out by saying, is this you or is this,
mm-hmm,
Sally? Like, who,
mm-hmm,
are we talking about right now?
Yeah.
And she even says, she's like, you, I'm not worried about,
uh-huh,
you at all.
Yeah.
And she even says that, what'd she say? You stand your solid ground.
You stand your solid ground. You're refusing to be anyone but you.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you are very, very, it's like she says,
yeah,
you know, I've met everybody in this town,
mm-hmm,
and you are very, very cool.
Yeah.
Like,
and
the way she puts it.
Normal old Moira, or rather the Moira of theatrics,
mm-hmm,
would never say cool.
That, yeah.
I think that's the weirdest word coming out of her, which, like you said, makes it feel so much more genuine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a different type of conversation.
Exactly.
That they have, you know, and she's like, just set sail. She says, stay put. Don't, you know, don't change. So yeah, they have a really nice little moment of, you know, and again, I think it's that moment of Moira kind of, she sees herself in Stevie, you know, like, cause we know she came from like a small town and kind of needed, you know, Johnny and everything else. And, you know, I think she's kind of, again, seeing that parallel between them.
So now we go back to the show.
Yes.
We get to see Stevie's
the big number.
Yes. And I was very, we had to pause it because I was wondering who the man was
in the background.
Which is such a dumb thing. He doesn't sing. Like, even in the...
we don't really see him, I don't think.
Even in the cabaret movie, Michael York doesn't sing.
Mm-mm.
None of those characters sing, right?
No.
It was just her because it was all in the show. So it doesn't matter. But I was just looking, trying to figure out, like, is there someone? Did they get somebody from a previous episode? And there's nobody credited in that role.
Because he's just kind of sitting back there.
I know. And it made me wonder, do you think Jake's at the show? Do you think he just came to support Stevie?
I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me if he was there.
Yeah.
He seems nice enough.
Yeah. But of course, she belts out this number.
Yep.
You know, totally in the spotlight, totally solo, all by herself.
She doesn't start by belting it out.
No.
I have to say, she cannot sing like Liza Minnelli. Surprise, surprise.
No. But I said, our daughter takes voice lessons, and she just recently did this song.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a hard song to sing.
Right.
Like, you really have to, like, belt it out. And, you know, like, it's a hard song.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just... I guess it's just because of Stevie's character.
Mm-hmm.
But the way she played this, I thought was really great.
Yeah, she started out real tentative.
You can feel her confidence grow as it goes. And when Liza Minnelli sang it, she's just banging this thing out from the jump, which that's what a professional performer
does. Of course, yeah.
But it didn't feel as genuine as what's happening here.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
But I guess it's just...
And just like kind of her facial expressions, like it really feels like she is singing those words like from her life.
Yep.
And, you know,
And it's really like her expression at the end seems...
So she's surprised that she did it.
But also excited.
Right. And then, of course, she gets a standing ovation. I loved watching when they would show her and then they would go into the audience and especially, like, focus in on David. I mean, David was just beaming from ear to ear. Ted had such a, like, lovely, genuine smile. Like, just, I loved watching them watch her.
Yeah.
You know, and just, like, how... like much they were kind of celebrating that moment with her, I thought was really nice too.
Exactly.
I really enjoyed watching them in the audience, you know, and just how big their smiles were. And as she finished and everything, you know, she got a standing ovation and lots of cheers. Moira looked teary in the wings and everything. David, when he stood up, he turned around and he said to someone behind him, "That's my friend," which I always loved. Yeah. Super cute.
Even the woman, and we saw her before, was she the piano player during rehearsals? The woman standing behind Moira.
Oh,
she was even really
great.
Like, she was even really happy for Stevie.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Yep. Yeah, it was definitely, you know, just a really great moment for her, moment of confidence that she really needed to know that, you know, and I think her conversation with Moira and everything just really put things into place. And Moira knew what she was doing, you know.
Yeah.
She knew what she was doing from the start when she showed up at her apartment and had that bottle of wine and threw a script at her and said, "Here you go. This is what you're going to do."
Yeah.
You know, she knew what she needed.
You know, it's really interesting because we have, you know, I don't know if we brought this up during that episode, but I know I've sort of said it throughout, is that she could have gone to Twilight. Like, she knows that Twilight can sing. She's one of the jazzy gals.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of other jazzy gals who can sing that are of that age and so on. But you're right. Like, she took a really big risk.
Yeah.
having Stevie do this.
Right.
But I guess, you know, and it was, of course, with Amir and stuff like
that. Right, and she was at a low point, right. And it's, you know, the whole thing is like, maybe, you know, maybe this time, like, maybe this time things are going to work out. And that was kind of at that moment where things hadn't worked out.
Right.
You know, like she said, and like, he really didn't want me.
Yeah, and it really does show that Moira didn't just do it to make Stevie feel better either. Mm-hmm. Like, this really shows that Moira knew what she was doing.
What she was capable of and knew that she could do it.
And it really worked out well.
Yeah, and as much as, you know, we don't see, like we said, this is sort of like these moments between these two characters, but for her to do that and know that, too, she didn't have interactions with Stevie.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but I guess she just was always sort of watching everything from afar and, you know, kind of always sort of was, you know, just kind of keeping an eye on her. So, yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
So Cabaret ends. The end. Yeah. So now.
Wow. That was abrupt.
We go to the motel for the after party.
Yeah.
Engagement announcement.
Yeah.
All of those things together. Because I guess the whole cast is there except for the characters that we don't know. Yeah. Everyone's there who are Jazza gals or members of the family or work at the motel.
Right. Well, Ted and Alexis are talking.
Right.
You know, and because he's obviously getting ready to leave. He's basically there for this little party and then he's, you know, getting on a plane to the Galapagos.
Yeah. We can kind of, and this is not a spoiler, but we can kind of say goodbye to Ted for a while. I mean, a while.
Yeah. But yeah, Alexis is saying, I can't wait to come down and sip pina coladas with you. And he's like, again, it's not really that kind of place. But then she kind of makes the announcement.
It's a good one. I love it.
This is a great Ted pun that she gets to do, that it's time for Ted to Galapago now, which is very cute.
I love it because instantly I thought he must have said that a ton to her.
Oh, I'm sure.
And she finally stole it and, it worked.
Yeah.
It
got a few laughs. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so Ted has to go. He does his, he says his congratulations and then heads out.
Mm-hmm.
And then David decides, what a perfect time after Ted left, to get up and give a speech.
Yes, and give a speech. He has his glass. He's ready to toast. First, he kind of congratulates the cast and everything to kind of, you know, start everything off.
First, Jocelyn interrupts.
I thought it was Roland first.
It was Roland interrupts first.
Roland made, but, you know, he said, you know, about something with love in for Cabaret. And then he's like, speaking of love. And, you know, he starts to get into this whole conversation about meeting Patrick and everything. And, I think it's Roland that says
it's
something
Roland
about,
first,
you know, like getting engaged
or getting married.
Yeah,
or
something like that.
He and Jocelyn are both just shouting.
Yeah,
just
and Jocelyn calls out and interrupts. So they're kind of just totally ruining the moment he had envisioned.
Moira gets a phone call and leaves. Yes. She's like, oh, I already know about this. I'm just going to leave. It's no big deal. I also love how Ronnie's there and Ronnie just goes, wait, he's marrying you?
Right.
I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
Which I think is really funny because we know Ronnie doesn't really like Patrick.
Right. Yeah. Maybe
that's
put
what
aside
she
their
meant.
Differences.
Maybe she meant, oh, he's marrying you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. but yeah, so David kind of officially announces, and then we hear a
Moira freaking out,
from the other room. And everybody kind of, David's celebration is cut very
short. Everybody
kind
of crowds into the parents' room.
Yeah. Yeah. And
we find out that they
shelved. She's literally on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And she shares, that they shelved the Crows movie.
Oh.
And then she crawls over to the closet and closes the little accordion door. I don't know what those kind of doors are called.
Let's
just always think of it as like
a
little accordion door.
Sure.
Closes the little accordion door and she's just sobbing about it in the closet.
Yes. And Johnny's pretty much like, all right, party's over.
Party's
everybody.
Over. Yeah.
And then David collects the champagne
flutes.
Well,
he says, leave your champagne flutes unless, and then he looks to Patrick and he's like, unless we still want to do a toast. And Patrick's like, no, I don't think so.
And
that's
it.
That's
ends
it.
So abruptly.
I know.
What a weird way to end this episode.
Yeah.
And I guess, Yeah, we have to end on a cliffhanger? We don't. We know, at the time, I don't remember. I'm sure they knew they were coming back for another season.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know why we just can't end nicely. Like, that's right. I don't know. And I talked last time about how that felt like a season mm-hmm. ending episode. Mm-hmm. And this certainly kind of has that feel too, but it really feels like a, let's find out what happens next week about this right. Crows movie. But
yeah.
No, you have to wait an entire year.
Right. And it literally, this ended, what'd you say? This was April 9th?
Yeah.
And then season 6 began at the start of the pandemic. It was April of 2020.
Yeah, so you're waiting a long time for this. Yeah,
it was a year. Because I remember we were like, oh good, something to do during the pandemic. Like we were stuck inside. Yeah. Like everything kind of happened mid-March.
This wasn't one of those usual January starts.
Yeah, it was later.
So it's a very long time.
Yes.
Not that everybody was on pins and needles wonder what's happening with the Crows
movie. With the Crows movie. Because you know how we felt about the Crows movie.
Right, yes,
that
exactly.
was not really our but favorite
it's almost thing. As if this episode... Moira at the beginning and then at the end had to remind us, remember, there was this Crows thing that I did.
Yeah. Well, and I also feel like Stevie is like on her up and mm-hmm. now Moira is on her down.
Yeah.
You know, like she kind of like did all of that and really built up Stevie's confidence. Yeah. And now just like that in, you know, a single moment, like Moira is now mm-hmm. devastated and... You know, I don't like when Moira unravels. So this
unraveled Moira.
And
is
I mean,
not
it's a small glimpse
Moira.
Of her unraveling, but
hopefully we don't go back to her and she's drunk in the closet again, because that's too much for you. You wouldn't be able to handle that.
I don't like that. I like when Moira's fun and happy.
I know. I think we all do.
I think so too.
Wow, this is so great.
At the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best episode that you've ever seen to the least best episode that you've ever seen. So, Carla, if this episode... were a cabaret performer, would it be the Master of Ceremonies or the Gorilla?
Or the Gorilla.
I will give you your list and you can make your choice.
All right. Oh, goodness, where would I put this? I'm going to say this is my new... Oh, it's so hard.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
It is not
it's
easy.
It's a season finale. And last episode, I think, made both of our top tens.
I know. I don't know that this one... I don't know, because this is such a great Stevie moment, and I feel like we haven't had Stevie moments. You know?
You're looking at me like I'm going to tell you where to put
this. I know.
This.
I'm just... I'm no, I'm just that. Saying, like, we haven't had Stevie moments.
I know.
So I feel like that makes this very difficult. And I don't want to give Stevie's moment any less recognition than some of the other moments that we've had.
I think that just in this episode, we have given Stevie all of the credit in the world. And I've given Stevie more credit than probably any other character in the show throughout our entire almost 3-year long discussion.
Yeah,
about Schitt's
Creek. I just am having such a hard time because I feel like I can't touch things that are in the top 10. I feel
Nobody's
like I just can't. I know, then I'm like, I don't know. Am I making the right decision? You know, it's tough. It's tough to decide. Because then I look and I think, oh, maybe some of those ones in the top 10. Maybe this is better than those. I feel like I have to make this my new number 12.
New number 12.
Because I just meet the parents is so lovely. And so, but then, you know, is that better than Stevie? I don't know.
So, yeah, so that's...
I don't like having to do this.
Yeah, so that's right below Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
Right above Wine and Roses, which Wine and Roses, I remember when that was really high in your top 10.
It was so good, but I feel like it just keeps getting pushed down.
That may have gone from like number 3 down to 13.
I don't know if I ever had that at 3, but...
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. Mine isn't quite that high. Mine is number 15.
Okay.
So it's a great episode.
I know.
Like I said, I think that's part of the problem with this episode is the episode that came before it.
Mm-hmm.
really kind of hurts this a little bit. If if we didn't have that, and like I said, if it was a cabaret and hike, I don't know how you do it.
Spectacular.
I don't think
altogether.
You could do it. Make an hour-long episode and do it.
Right.
Well, then it would be top five, I think.
Yeah.
But the fact that they split this up because they had to, I understand why.
Yeah.
You know, but still, being top 15 for both of us, out of now we are to 66 episodes of this show. And can you believe we only have 14 more to go?
Yeah.
14 more episodes of this show, 14 more episodes of this podcast.
Yep, that's it.
And if you're feeling sad, don't worry. It's still going to take us to March. So if you're listening right now and it's August and you're thinking they're almost done, we're not. We're not even close to almost done. We'll be here for quite a while.
Yeah.
So that's it. And, oh, you know what?
That's it on season five.
That's it on season five. It's a wrap on season five.
Yeah.
Next time, we start season six with the first episode, Smoke Signals.
Okay.
So until then, everybody, thank you again for listening. Thank you for following us on all the social media.
It's been fun hearing from people, too, that are watching that are maybe like back in season two.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yes.
And they'll like comment on something or share something or, you know.
No, we get that from time to time where people are like, I just found you guys for some reason and I just started. And it's really nice because then you can just blow through this stuff. I mean, especially if you've seen the entire thing before. I mean, I know there are the smallest handful of people who are watching this show while they listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really great.
Yeah.
I will say, I hope, not that I hope people aren't following us, but I will say, you know, if you're behind, you're not listening to this if you're behind, but I did have one person say, oh, a few episodes behind, and I've never watched the series.
And we spoiled
and I saw
something.
Patrick, I just saw on your social media post, Patrick down on one knee.
Oh.
I was like, oh, yeah, you're like five episodes back from that.
Yeah.
So maybe if that's the case, maybe don't follow us on the socials. But we really do like hearing from you guys. So thank you again.
On tweeters and
the tweeters and the Instagram and Facebook, all that stuff.
Yep.
But have a great 2 weeks, everybody.
Warmest regards.
Maybe this time I'll be lucky. Maybe this time he'll stay. Maybe this time, for the first time, love won't hurry away. He will hold me fast. I'll be home at last. Not a loser anymore, like the last time and the time before. Everybody, they love a winner, so nobody loved me. Lady peaceful, lady happy, that's what I long to be.
That's my friend.